Some powerful people are also worried about the high dollar. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The people who control interest rates in America look at prices, they look at jobs, but we now know the Federal Reserve is also looking warily at the high U.S. dollar. To understand this key wrinkle here in the spring of 2015 for the economy, let's turn to Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So some people see the Fed minutes as kind of subtle, arcane, even mumbo-jumbo, but there's important stuff in there, not just about interest rates, but there seemed to be a new concern on the part of some members of the interest rate setting committee. What did you see?
What we saw was a shift in how they viewed the value of the dollar. The dollar has strengthened much more than anyone expected. They pivoted from thinking the dollar is just sort of a transitory factor and not going to have a big effect on the U.S. economy to being now one of the major risk factors for the U.S. economy. The stronger the dollar is, the harder it is for us to export abroad. And, of course, it intensifies import price competition, lowering in inflation at a time when the Fed is looking to actually raise inflation.
In fact, we see that even again today. The dollar is up. In fact, it costs $1.75 to buy a euro. You know, if you go over to places like, what, Switzerland, you have to pay them to hold your money. I think it's called negative interest rates.
Exactly. I mean, and you can understand in that environment where inflation is even lower abroad than it is in the U.S., and you've got, you know, not quite, but close to 2% on the long bond in the U.S., that looks like a good deal. And so it's keeping money flowing into the U.S., and that's something that has lingering effects and tend to compound over time. And we've already seen an impact on profits in the U.S. relative to abroad.
Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, you may have forgotten this now that Amazon has become an emporium for just about everything, but it got famous as an online bookstore. Now a company called Oyster, with agreements from all five major publishers, has opened an e-bookstore. But can it compete? Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein has more on some changes in the e-book industry.
Three of the largest publishers have hammered out a deal with Amazon for the publishers to fix prices for their e-book titles. Rich Bellis, senior editor, Digital Book World, says that opens the door for others to enter the estimated $3 billion a year industry.
If price is not going to be the kicker, then what is? Oyster's answer to that is great recommendation, a kind of, you know, beautiful mobile-optimized e-reading experience.
And that's where the Oysters of the world have a fighter's chance, because on prices, Amazon can just undercut all the competition. But given Amazon's near stranglehold on ebooks, Mike Schatzkin of the Idea Logical Company doesn't predict any massive shakeup.
Amazon is the heavyweight champion of the world, and you just managed to cut their finger. You know, I mean, yeah.
Schatzkin says even if someone does build a beautiful reading experience, getting Amazon's customers to ditch their Kindles and all their books is a heavy lift. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Digital audio downloads can enlighten and entertain. They can also sell things to you. Now there's a growing sector of podcasting for companies, whether their product is jeans, shoes, makeup. Melanie Sevchenko went to learn more about how experts can build a podcast around a product.
What if brands had real stories to tell that went beyond simply selling products? It's an idea that Portland, Oregon couple, Todd Mansfield, an audio consultant, and his wife Laura, a brand catalyst, had years ago, and so they ran with it.
I've been a sports dietitian here at Clif Bar for 10 years and a runner for 20.
Podcasts are about exploring the culture around a product, not selling, says Laura.
I really go back to educating and cool storytelling content because that is going to be the differentiator and actually going to position companies to really shine.
Clif Bar is a former client of Todd and Laura's. Its podcast, called Clifcast, is a nutrition show for runners and endurance athletes.
Don't forget to give yourself the gift of chocolate from time to time. And make sure to rest. It's just as important as your running.
Sports marketing manager at Clif Bar, Ricardo Balash, is the host of Clifcast.
These are not considered advertisements. We are very conscious of creating content that's unbiased. We're sharing our expertise.
Levi's, another client, created a podcast about the sustainability of their product. Here's Todd.
We went ahead and did an interview with an English gentleman who was a member of Levi, and he unveiled this entire story about ways to take better care of their jeans.
One of the best ways to wear your jeans in are to climb into the bathtub in warm water and then just keep bending and stretching.
At Nemo Design in Portland, senior copywriter John Vera says getting podcast subscribers is important for a company because it creates a brand following.
So for a brand, that's tremendously helpful because then you're looped in. But for a person, the reward has to be pretty big. You know, it has to be something you wouldn't learn about otherwise.
The key is creating exclusive content because for most products, there's an audience that wants to know every side of the story. In Portland, Oregon, I'm Melanie Savchenko for Marketplace.
And the ride service Uber has had trouble in India with regulators and screening out dangerous drivers. But today, in a nod to local custom, Uber has announced that people in New Delhi will be able to use its smartphone app to summon auto rickshaws, little three-wheeled vehicles that swarm through the landscape there. Uber won't charge a fee for booking the auto rickshaws, and customers will pay cash. In other markets, Uber is all about cars with four wheels. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.